Hello, welcome back. So my name is Saptak Sen again, and I have with me Bill Ramos.
Hi, I'm Bill Ramos, VP of Consulting Services with Advaya, and I'm here to help Saptak out demo some MapReduce in this new module here.
Awesome, awesome. So let's talk about quickly what we are going to show in this module. First of all, we are going to discuss the concepts of MapReduce. It's very important because that's the processing paradigm for Hadoop. And then we are also going to do some demos around how you can write your own .NET MapReduce jobs. So with that, let's get started on what MapReduce is. First of all, in any parallel or parallel platform or distributed platform, the key issue is that any time that we have to work or wait for one process to finish on another node to continue, it decreases the parallelism. This whole process is called synchronization. And synchronization is the worst enemy of parallelism, right? So, and if we lose parallelism, what that means is that we are not efficiently using the resources, the compute resources that we have at our disposal, because some other process in some other node is waiting for another process on another node to finish up. So this is very, very inefficient. So the idea is to minimize this kind of synchronization. Now, MapReduce by design is a processing framework which tries to minimize this any kind of synchronization to the extent possible, right? Now, as the name suggests, there are two main phases, the map phase and the reduce phase. Now, of course, there are many other phases that the framework provides, but essentially what the map phase does is that as you have data, like we talked about in the last module, sharded up across all these systems and all these drives, you spin up this little programs or tasks called mappers. And these mappers can work parallelly through ingesting all that data and do the first level of processing, like filtering, taking out stuff which you don't care about from the raw data, and just extracting out the important data, or transforming some data. Now, once that has been done, they put little kind of almost category tag, and that's the key of the key value pair, right? So around MapReduce, you'll hear about the term key value pair a lot, right? So as we are reading in data, we are extracting entities that we are interested in and putting on little labels on those entities, right? And those are the keys. Now, once the mappers are done with it, it emits those out to the framework. Now, framework takes care of shuffling that and sorting that in a way so that the reducer, each reducer, and there could be many reducers, gets a bag of key-value pairs where all the key-value pairs have the same key, right? So now the reducers can combine or aggregate across all these key-value pairs with the same key, right? Each reducer can do it. So that way, you get parallelism in the mapper phase and you get parallelism in the reducer phase. That's the whole motivation of MapReduce. Now, you could do it with just, say, Windows socket programming, all this, right? But it's going to take you a lot more lines of code, and you have to take care of a lot of things yourself, which the MapReduce framework here is giving it to you for free, or already baked into the framework. You don't have to worry about it. So that's essentially it. Now, with that in mind, let's look at the hello world of MapReduce programs. if anywhere you go to learn MapReduce, they show the word count problem. And yeah, so over to Bill with that for that.
Okay, so let's show you the word count program as it's set up on our HD Insight cluster. Okay, with this version of Windows Azure HD Insight for general release, there are numerous examples that we have here, and I can actually use PowerShell to list out the examples in the example directory. And so I'm going to use this get Azure storage blob command again, and we saw that earlier, and I'm going to just list out the items under the examples folder. So I'll go ahead and run this, and you see we have cat.exe, wc.exe. Those are actually part of the word count where you can use C# streaming jobs. But I'm going to show you the canonical word count app that's using the Hadoop examples.jar file right here. And the way that I do that with the general availability release in PowerShell is I run this a little bit of script here. First, what I need to do is set up a new HD Insight MapReduce job definition. This defines the jar file, the class within that, and so a jar file can have multiple classes that can execute. I then specify the name of the input file and the name of the output directory. Now I'm going to go ahead and just set up the job definition and then print out the word count job variable after that's done. And so you can see here, again, we don't need the job name, but we have the jar file, class name, and so on. Next, we're going to run a set of commandlets piping the word count job value into the start Azure HD Insight job. And here we specify our cluster, and again, our cluster is the Big Data JS with our subscription information. We then tell it to wait, and what this will do is actually cause the script to wait and display the status information in the status bar. It's right between here. And then we'll go ahead and get the job output, which is actually the kind of the end result, but not the actual file. So I'm going to go ahead and let this run. So we'll go ahead and execute this. And so this is running the first part where it starts the job definition. Again, if I just ran the start job definition here, it would immediately return back for PowerShell. And then I could later go on and search what's going on. We're now in the second phase where we're waiting for the execution. So what this is doing is basically telling it to wait for up to 60 minutes. So this is a value in seconds here. For the timeout, and so this will go ahead and display the information. You'll see a little status information that, running here as the MapReduce program's working. And so we're doing the map operation now, and so as Zaptac described earlier, it's doing the first going out, sending out the job to the different mappers, and then returning that back to reduce the results to get the count values. And so at this point, now that the map phase is done, it's running the reduce phase, where it's adding up all the words that were contained in the DaVinci.txt file. And so it's getting close here. I'll let this go a little bit. And what we're going to do after the job execution is just show the job tracking information. Now, in the past, to get the job tracking information, you either had to log into the head node and get the job information or access it through a web URL, but you can get that information now with PowerShell using the get Azure HD Insight job. So we'll go ahead and run that and just to show you the results here. So this is going out and querying the job log, and you can see here that the job created with no errors and was a MapReduce job. Now, to get the results of it, what I need to do now is show the results in the container that was called example output and then the W star. So I'm going to go ahead and run that. And you can see here we have our output directory and then we have our part file, and this is the actual MapReduce output that was created from the MapReduce job. Now, to see the results of that blob, what I'm going to use is the get Azure storage blob content, give it this, the name of the blob, which matches up from below, indicate the container and the contacts, and I'm going to tell it to write it out to our part r000.txt file on my desktop. And so I'll go ahead and execute that. So that'll go ahead and download it to my desktop. And what I can do next is actually use a command like cat to find a string, the number of occurrences where there occurred in the output result. And so when I run that, this is going through, again, this is on the local computer now, taking the result file that I downloaded from my cluster and showing all the words that contain the word there in them. And so just like that, you know, you run a MapReduce job in PowerShell. Pretty convenient. Safdak?
Just to explain again, and Bill explained it, I'm going to reiterate it. What just happened was that, you know, in the mapper, as all these mappers on many different systems came alive and started reading their blocks of the file. Now, this block, this whole file was placed on Azure Blob Store, and it's all distributed across the nodes, and then different streams of these files started pouring into different mappers, and then they started reading through those files. The mappers started taking out each word and used the word as the key, and the number of times they saw the word in that file or in that stream as the value. So most of the time, it is the, say, the word gravity, right? And gravity and the number is one. And once it's gotten that, all the mappers did all this for all the different words, and then they emitted it to the framework. The framework then sorted it and shuffled it so that each reducer got all the instances of the key value pairs where it the key is gravity and the value is most of the time it's one, right? And then reducer basically just aggregates it. So it says, okay, for gravity, I've seen this many values. This is the sum of all the values. So if the word gravity appeared, say, 50 times, it will say gravity 50, thou 10, whatever. Right, and then it just writes out to the Azure Blob Store. Now, the cool part is at this point, you could potentially delete the cluster because your job is done. You've run a job, and if it was multiple terabytes of file, let's say you have a very big cluster to process it, and you can now delete the cluster to save your cost. Now, with that, let's talk about how you can do with .NET. For .NET, we have a .NET SDK. Now, the easy way to get that .NET MapReduce API into Visual Studio is through something called NuGet. And NuGet is very similar to Git, if you have used Git, right? It's basically a utility which lets you very easily download and import these libraries within your Visual Studio in environment. Now, as part of this, you get the libraries, not just the libraries, but you also get the stubs which will be used like MR Runner and so on to start your MapReduce programs. Now, the MapReduce programs that you build here are typically DLLs. And the stub now launches the methods in those DLLs and does the mappers and reducers. That's all it does. Now with that, we have a demo for how to create a mapper using C#.
Thank you, Safdak. Yeah. So what I'm going to do right now is use Visual Studio to create a new project for our mapper utility. Now, Safdak indicated that most of the time these are actually DLLs, but in this case, we're going to actually create an EXE that'll then be uploaded and then run as part of the C# streaming mechanism. In a future module, we're going to show how you can actually use a DLL to go ahead and create your class and then use that for running your job. So let's go ahead and go to Visual Studio right now and create our new project. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a console app for our application. And I'm going to name this Big Data Bootcamp Mapper. Now again, I'm just making it tough on myself with all the upper and lowercase characters. Again, things will be case sensitive, but this is why we have clipboards and things like that to keep us handy, or keep us in sync here. So we've got our console app, and at this point I'm going to go ahead and click OK to fire things up. Now this has created a shell program called program.cs that we're going to replace out here in a moment. So what I'm going to do is create a new application file. And again, this will be C#. Where is my, class file, right there at the top. Okay, and I'm going to call this map.cs. Okay, so we have our map.cs file, and at this point, I'm going to copy in the code that we're going to use for this class, and then I'll walk through it here in a moment. Now, again, this SEPDAC indicated that these MapReduce programs can do things like filtering and other kinds of operations. In this case, we're going to actually do a transformation of our data so that it makes sense when we're loading it into tools like Excel. So let's go back up to the top. Now, if you notice here, there's a little squiggly mark under Hadoop, and this is because we have not added our reference to the Hadoop classes using NuGet. And so that the way that we do that is we go ahead and go to the Tools menu and the Library Package Manager and use the Package Manager console. And from here, what we're going to do is issue a command that will go ahead and download the package for our MapReduce right here. Okay, so if we go down here, what we're going to do is tell NuGet to install this package called Microsoft Hadoop MapReduce to resolve that particular item. So we'll go back here and hit Enter. And so this is going through out to NuGet, downloading the libraries. And let's see, are we all done? Yep. So we can see now there are a whole bunch of references in here, including the Microsoft Hadoop MapReduce. And now our little squiggly mark under Hadoop has been resolved. So we have a mapper program that is all ready to go. So let's take a quick look at what this application does. So what it does is it uses these the stream reader method to go ahead and load in the file and then reads one line at a time. Now again, the mapper, because it can think of it, when HD Insight or Hadoop executes this, will actually take the stream of data and actually spin up a bunch of mappers, and each one of them will go through and figure out how to read the file at a given time. So it can actually read this information in parallel for really large files. Now in this case, the data file is fairly small, so we might not see much parallelism that takes place in the output result. But it just gives you an idea by writing these small programs using the stream reader and the read line, it'll actually spin up as many tasks as it possibly can to process the data more efficiently. So let's take a look. The next thing we do is we're basically taking our common delimited file and splitting it up into an array. Where we're going to start building out our key value. In this case, our key value is going to be our age range here. Now, if we go back to our file, what this is basically doing is saying that the character in the eighth position, because everything is zero-based here in C#, so what we're doing is saying, Column 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That one right there. Okay. This column represents an age group. And what we're going to do is, based on the age group mapping that were in the census file, we're going to map these 1s and 2s and 3s into a character value as part of our mapping key program. So we're essentially saying if it was 1, then it's 0 through 4. And these were all the ranges that were set up by the Census Department. Now, the other thing we need to do is we've got to output our key value pair. In this case, what we're doing is we're taking the values in positions 3, 4, and our key, which is this age range here, to build our key that will be our unique identifier, and then taking our ninth value, which is the population value. So let me flip back here. So again, sorry about bouncing back. We're taking 0, 1, 2, 3. So that's our state, 3. This is our county, 4. And then this is the last position, which is represented by our value in 9. Now, this last one here is actually tab delimited so that it can keep track of the key value pair for our reducer later on. To get things kicked off, I'll go ahead and I need to delete this program here. And so I'm going to go ahead and delete that class file. And so we have our mapper. I'm just going to go ahead and build. And build succeeded. We're all set. We've now created our mapper. And it's time to kind of click over and build out our reducer after this. But
awesome.
That's our first step here.
Let's do the reducer,
Let's
then.
Do the reducer, man. Okay. Okay, so for the reducer, we're going to take the same, very similar approach. We'll go ahead and create a new project again. And in this case, since we're flying through the script here, let me get my little cheat sheet here. Okay, so we got our mapper. And now for a reducer, what I want to do is call this Big Data Bootcamp Reducer. And again, that will be stored in our applications directory. And we're going to take our very similar approach as the other program. So what I'm going to do now is create a new class file. And I'm going to name this, let's make sure I get this right, reduce. Okay, so now that I have our reducer, I'm now going to paste in the code and we'll walk through that here in a moment. So I'll go. Okay, so go back up here. You see, again, because we've created a new project, we don't have the reference set up for our library, so we have to do the NuGet routine again. So we'll go ahead and go back out to our console here.
Package manager.
Our package manager, yes, thank you. And Visual Studio was kind enough to retrieve the keyboard buffer so I could do an up arrow and go ahead and hit that thing again so I don't have to do it more than once.
Nice.
Okay, so now we have our reduced program. I'm going to kill off our program.cs, and all our references are all set up, and let's walk through what the reducer does. So again, the program is built for parallelism in mind. It uses a stream reader to read in the data from the mappers, and it's using essentially the read line to then go ahead and do a similar thing. In this case, what we're doing is we're going to split. Again, we had our key value, which consisted of the state, the county, the age group, which has now been mapped out to 0 through 4 years and so on. And we have our value, which is the population. And so if we look down at the code, what this is doing here with the line split is it's using the tab as the way to determine how things got split out. So our key is the first part, and our value is the second part. Now that we have that part, what we're going to do is we go through, and the mapper will go through and look to see for each value that's a key. It will take and add the value back, or add the value for those keys, because each line represented a race, sex, and all that. And so there's actually multiple lines per age group that each thing now is summing up as part of using this count routine in the reducer. So the reducer, I've seen it primarily used for things like doing aggregation. That's what it's very good at doing. And so now if we go back to the code, this count for the key will go ahead and keep track of all the particular items for that age group now, and then write it back out to the console. So what we're doing is we're taking this output, and by writing it out, now the Hadoop streaming system will use that for its final shuffling and assembling of the data. So that's our reducer. So I'll go ahead and save that and build the project. And now that I've got it built, I want to show one other thing here. If we go back to our application space, because we're going to need to keep track of our programs, you see there's a directory folder for our mapper and our reducer. And I'll just dig into one of these here where we look at in the bin directory under debug, we have our mapper.exe here. Now, one thing to keep in mind when you're working with the system is make sure that you keep track of which file is the application versus which one is the XML configuration, because they look very similar. So what we're going to do later on is we're going to upload the mapper and the reducer to run our job. Saptak, you want to
Sure.
take it here? We've got our mapper and reducer now.
Absolutely. So
close here.
Why don't we just run that on?
Just thing? Run it? Yeah, why not? Just get it over with, man.
Get it over with.
No, it's a lot of fun here. So okay, now that I've got my mapper and reducer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and copy them over to my application directory just to make things a little easier. So I'll put this one here. So that's the reducer, and I'll do the same with our mapper here. Just, again, navigate to where I had the XE. Bin, debug, there's my mapper, copy, and then we'll go back. And we'll go ahead and do a paste. Okay, so I have my mapper and reducer files. This is just because I have the PowerShell script already set up here. So if I go into my demo, this next part here, what I'm going to do is just show you again, we have our data files in place. Just to recap, so this we did this back earlier. So I have my census data underscore one.dat file and n.2.dat files. And they're actually in a data directory called data census. And what's going to be interesting here is when we define our context here. Next, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add here the force command, is we need to take our mapper and reducer programs and upload those to our storage as well. So first, I'll go ahead and take our mapper and upload that into the applications folder in my storage account, and then the reducer. Okay, so I'm going to then list out the mapper and reducer just to verify it. And so again, those are in the applications directory. Now I'm ready to run my MapReduce job. But unlike the word count example where I just used the HD Insight MapReduce job definition, here we're adding streaming. And this allows us to use .NET programs to stream a mapper and reducer program. And so we specify two parameters for file. First one is the mapper and the reducer. We then show the input path as data census. Now, I didn't have to explicitly list out the independent files for this, because Hadoop and a MapReduce job will process all the files in that directory. Or I could specify just the ones, you know, individual ones. But here I'm specifying the directory here. So I'm going to go ahead now and set up my streaming word count job here. So I'll go ahead and select that and execute. Now that goes pretty fast because it's just setting up the definitions file. Now, like the word count example, we do the start HD Insight job. We pipe the result into wait, and then run our job output. And so let me go ahead and select this and execute. So again, what this is doing is taking the job definition for the mapper and the reducer. It's starting up the Azure job. And again, if I had left it alone, it would have just returned control back to PowerShell. Now we're in the wait process. And so what we're doing is, again, waiting our up to 60 minutes here for the mapper and the reducer to complete. And so this has, you'll see the two phases here for the map and the reduce. Again, the mapper is going through and replacing the values for the age group with the string characters so that we can see the results. And the reducer is doing the sum operation, where it's taking all the individual race categories that were there in the original file and summing those up so we have one value for the state, county, the age group, and then the total population. So our MapReduce job, the mapper and the reducer are now complete. Now we're just waiting to get our output from the job. And so this is just about done here. And what I'm going to do after that's all finished is now show you the results. So I'll get, again, the get Azure blob command. And you see here we have our directory with the results and the name of the file. So here with our streaming MapReduce file, we've got our part-0000 file. Now that we have that, let's just check out the results. So what I'm going to do, similar to what I did before, is I'm going to go ahead and download that to the desktop and go ahead and run it. And so now I have the file on my desktop. And like before, I'm going to use the cat command, and this time I'm going to find string for all the counties that contain king. And so we'll go ahead and let this process. So this is going over the, it's about a 1.5 megabyte file, and showing you the results. So we can see here, these are all the counties that have king in them. We have our comma-separated values with the name of the state, the name of the county, the population, or the age group, and the population. So just like that, what have we done? We've created a mapper with .NET and saw how to actually use readline in there. Oh, there we go. And we've created a reducer in .NET that will go ahead and process the results from the mapper and then uploaded our data files to or into the right location for our MapReduce job. And then we uploaded our exes there and then went ahead and used the C# streaming sample app to kind of set up our job so we could input our mapper, our reducer, our input directory, output directory, run the MapReduce job, and see our results, just like that.
Yeah, and those of you who are thinking that, hey, you know, is Tail the best visualization tool we have? The answer is no. We have better visualization tool, and it's coming soon, so don't despair. Hold on. In very soon, in the next few modules, we'll cover that. With that, we are done for this module.
Okay, yeah. So in the next module, we're actually going to go through and show you how to use Hive for actually processing this data and use tools. Can't remember if I'm going to go and use Excel or not, but we're going to go ahead and show you how to create a Hive table and get that on, and you can go through the basics on that module.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool, thanks.